Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What if the golf ball you're playing isn't the number one ball for you? Meet the all-new TP5 and TP5X from TaylorMade. Whether you prefer the softest five-layer tour ball in the TP5 or the fastest, that's now a half a club longer in TP5X, you'll be playing a golf ball that performs like it was built just for you. Available in white, yellow, and picks, you can personalize it with my symbol. No matter which you choose, every TP5, TP5X is designed to help your game. Head to TaylorMadeGolf.com today to find the number one ball for you.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. When did cheap plastic disposables with 90s style graffiti art become the norm? No offense if gaudy pastel is your style, but the Flonk Max Smart embodies a smarter way to vape. The Flonk is sleek and discreet, and the most popular flavors are available nicotine-free and in 2% and 5% strength. A flexible disposable with a smart LED screen, the Flonk churns out 10,000 dense and delicious puffs. Visit MyPod.com and use promo code STOOL for 25% off Flonk vapes.
Reveille, reveille, reveille! It's a Monday edition here on Zero Block 30, and today we have five rounds in the magazine. Round number one, a delightful tale of beautiful head. No, we're not talking about blow jibbers, folks. There's a luxury bathroom created by the troops at Joint Base Lewis McChord, which will make you want to flush every other latrine that you've ever been to. Round number two, we have attention to detail, and it remains important. A couple of inspectors at the Mexico-U.S. border discovered that some strawberry puree would leave you tweaking if you were to add it to your morning smoothie. Round number three, there's some heroes among us. National forest fighters went in and they rescued a woman who was in a precarious situation deep inside the woods. Round number four, some virtual fisticuffs happened this weekend as a military spouse battle took place on Facebook, and it's even more intense rivalry than the Army-Navy games. And finally, round number five, Elon must chat because we work on the internet and we must have it or else it would be dereliction of duty.
For us, golf is simple. It's a chance to get out and have some fun with our friends. But inevitably, little things have a way of ruining it. The group ahead is taking forever. You can't find the fairway with a map and the bev cart is nowhere to be found. And the best way to make a bad day better is Fireball whiskey. You get their nips, the little shooters. They are great. Makes bad day way, way, way better. Make sure to grab the new Fireball Birdie Shot Club. It's literally a golf club filled with Fireball nips. Put it in your bag. It'll fit right in that side pocket. Drink Fireball nips and have a great time on the golf course.
All right, let's make sure that we go on to round number one. We're starting off with a little bit of head talk, which is pretty on brand for this show. Okay, what do we got here?
Yes, head is in the bathroom this time around. And this is just such a delightful story from Davis Winky over at Military Times.
I want to give a shout out to the Military Times people. When I was in and you'd see the Military Times, if you're at like the Shopette or if you're at the PX or something like that, you would assume that they have a newsroom that's comparable to like big newspapers. Mm-hmm. There's like three or four reporters that work there and they do everything. Like all these stories are like three or four different writers that do it. It's incredible the amount of work that they do. Shout out Davis.
It's like, it actually might just be one person under many names, like Dave's original Barstool name, you know?
What was it? Something Slimmer Fish?
Devilfish Dave. Anyway, I just thought this story was really fun and really cute. And I could see this picking up as a trend. I bet there's other bathrooms like this across the military. So a group of warrant officers at Joint Base Lewis McChord in Washington State gained notoriety this past week after their hangar bathroom was shared by U.S. Army What the Fuck moments.
Wait, we need to have a pause right there, because if you're not a military person, if you've never been in the military, this might escape you. But that first couple sentences is incredibly important. Let's actually can we clap it out for warrant officers actually doing something? Unbelievable. That goes against everything that warrant officers usually do. They usually don't do shit. So them doing this and making the show, credit to the warrant officers, big time.
And usually we don't know what they do because you never really see them. They're kind of like unicorns. Like, I know our unit had one, a warrant officer, but I never saw him. I don't know what he did, what the purpose was.
I will say exists because you have to learn it, but you don't actually see them.
And you guys know that I used to memorize just about everything I possibly could military related. The warrant officer rank structure and the way that it looks always threw me for a loop. Even from the beginning, after boot camp, where you have to be able to identify it like that, warrant officer is the toughest one. Like there's so little, the little lines. And everything.
You talk about the actual
Ranking insignia, because it'll be like two or three stripes, one stripe, two stripes, three stripes, one silver bar down the middle. Like, what the fuck does that even mean? That's why everybody just gets called chief.
Exactly. Well,
this group of warrant officers is giving all warrant officers a good name. So they're out there at Joint Base Lewis McChord, and it's the 2158 Assault Helicopter Battalion. It's their latrine. Okay. And when you walk in there, it is like a mood lit Alaskan lodge lounge. There's paintings fucking on the gorgeous, wall, assorted hand soaps. I love a good hand soap. I feel like we need to get back in.
By the way, speaking of hand soaps, we just got the super fancy little containers that make any dish soap or hand soap foam for our actual bathrooms here. Game changer.
What is that? What do you mean it makes it foam?
It's just a regular container, but instead of having the liquid soap comes out, it turns liquid soap into foam soap.
It's so, like a soda stream.
Yeah. And I would say before this got here, if I'm ripping a piss, just piss only, I probably wash my hands 20, 25% of the time. I'm up to like probably 75%. Okay, don't look disgusted. You just don't have to wash your hands if you pee every time. You don't.
No.
But isn't something that doesn't that dangle around your butt area?
What do you mean?
Doesn't that all shift where your butt, say when I'm sitting down where my butthole's
do
touching
my pants?
Do you think
a penis is like shifts. A turtle where the head goes inside its own little butthole shell?
No, but I'm saying where your butthole touches your pants and your boxers shifts as you move. So at some point there could be a point where your genitals are touching where your butthole was.
No,
Catherine,
I don't think you fully appreciate
really try to make my. If you want to make your dick touch your butthole, it's a real effort.
Yeah, okay. But also
you could park your dick in your butt crack garage if you wanted to. But
that's what I'm saying.
It doesn't
happen when you
It's intentional when it happens.
No, it doesn't. I'm sorry, but also to Chaps's point, when you go to the bathroom. You're going in, you're touching something that's clean, your genitals, you're putting it back in the pants. And as long as no liquids get on your hands, there's no real reason to wash.
Yeah, it's basically like touching my hand. If I touch this part, this meaty flesh, I don't feel like I need to go wash my hands.
No, you guys have all sorts of creases down there. You've got, these warrant officers are washing their hands because they're classy. They have this bathroom, it looks like the layout is like a regular old shitty military bathroom, but they put in mood lighting, the Alaskan lodge vibe, paintings on the wall, assorted hand soaps, air fresheners. There's a putt-putt green, a taupe black splash, and classic rock emanating from a CD clock radio. Personally, I think all bathrooms should have music playing at all times for those
or white noise at the very least.
For the love of God. Come on.
When you're in a bathroom that doesn't have a fan and you've got to make some underwear burps happen in a quickness,
it's a terrible
situation to be
it's
in.
It's a nightmare.
Underwear burps will always
trying to find a way to
laugh.
Get it out. Anyway, they should all be playing loud music. The Army Times tracked down and caught up with the 16th Combat Aviation Brigade Chief Warrant Officer 2, who masterminded this whole operation. So he was like the first one to start putting fancy things in this bathroom. The soldier is a former infantry NCO who once worked for an international luxury hotel chain. He says, I used to regularly use a granite countertop bathroom with an individual stall that had linen towels and running water. You know, all those types of things that you take for granted working in a place like that. And then I went and joined the infantry. So he was working in like a 5-star hotel, and then next thing you know was in infantry. Now a warrant officer and a Blackhawk pilot. What a go-getter. My goodness. He asked during his phone interview that they withhold
23-year-old Kate walks into a bar and she meets a Black Hawk pilot that also knows how to decorate a bathroom.
Forget it. Forget it, buddy. Yeah. You can park your penis in whatever butthole garage you want. No, that's not.
No, that's fine. Let's keep that. Yeah.
Okay. The now warrant officer. The now warrant officer. He asked to remain anonymous for this interview. because he doesn't want news articles about his unit's bougie bathrooms getting stuck with his name forever. So say he goes on to accomplish great things. He's like, I know for sure the top story that will always come up with my name will be this bathroom story.
You spent 20 years as a Black Hawk pilot and everybody just talking about how you put in some fucking Scentsy candle melts in there.
But I think this bathroom warrants being talked about. So I don't think that's something to be ashamed of. I don't think
it's one of those things where if you can make your place nice, why would you not? It's station beautification indoors.
Mm-hmm. I love it. That's what he said. He said, I don't want to be known as the bathroom guy for the rest of my career, but this whole idea of trying to make the place a little bit nicer each day, and maybe the guys get to enjoy it after my group phases out of here. And it's actually a really cool thing. I love that. I agree.
He's boosting morale.
He also noted that this would not have been possible in his old infantry unit. They would have been.
Oh yeah. No
this
way.
This would have been like that construction guy. That old place would have had more of a Bobby. I believe you would have gotten your ass kicked for that, man. They would have beat your ass for that. If you were to do this in an infantry company, somebody would find a way to break everything in there, he explained. Oh, people come home on a Friday night to the barracks and they get
would get stolen.
Forget it. The brigade public affairs officer, Captain Kyle Abraham, gets no such anonymity and will have to deal with this coming up in his Google history forever. He described the latrine as what can happen when soldiers have pride in the unit and take pride in where they work.
That's exactly
ultimate
right.
Public affairs spin, yeah. The project began last fall when the battalion's pilot mafia realized they'd been spoiled by visiting other high-class facilities. So they're flying around big deal military people. So they're visiting like real world civilian airports and mm-hmm. seeing how fancy and nice everything is. And they were like, man, we kind of want that too. So they have rules. They should have nice things too. That's rule mm-hmm. number one. But everything that goes in the bathroom has to be free. That's rule number one. It has to be free. Rule number two, it has to be classy. He has vetoed items that don't fit the ambiance that they're trying to create.
Love to be in that position. That would be,
chaps, you would
just
thrive.
Feel like you had so much power. Like what, why do you feel like this needs to go in there? And to say yes or no would be so much power.
Well, chaps, you know why else you would be obsessed with this position? Everything has to be free. So they're finding it on Facebook Marketplace and stuff like that. They're like making trades and deals, right? And the theme is Alaskan hunting lodge. So that's what they're looking for on Facebook Marketplace. I know you get a Homesteader magazine. So of course you would. But he has vetoed.
It's called Backwoods. You should get it.
Somebody tried to put a wicker chair in there and he said, that's absolutely a no-go. It looked like cheap patio furniture. We weren't going to have it in there. There's a painting of a wolf. The lighting is so low and so perfect. And it's the kind of lighting, it's that Abercrombie lighting that makes everybody look good. Because it's so dark that you're like, wow, I'm a dark bar 10 in here. My God, normally I'm a 3. The enemy of the project, of course, the brigade's former command sergeant major, according to the warrant officer. And chap, see, I feel like would this have been you back in the day? Would you?
I don't know. I feel like I would have, because there's one kid that I remember when I would have to do barracks inspections, because every Friday, like the company gunny for Marines, you go through and you do like an inspection. The company gunny or the first sergeant would go through, and typically Lugo didn't want to, so he would send me to go do it. And if I went into somebody's room and it was clean and it was decorated and it smelled nice, like, and you could tell that they took a time, I wasn't going through all their little shit. Like, they've made this place a home. Clearly they respect it. And that's what it was about. Like, having that respect.
Yeah.
So I think this is a move that I would have liked, because if you're going into work, or if you do this in the barracks, or you do this to your room, it does make you feel better. I mean, there's so much to be said. There's so much research about if your house is clean, if your kitchen's clean, and if your bedroom's clean, you feel better throughout that day. Mm-hmm. I feel like this is 100% true. If you're going in through and everything looks like a typical government building and it's just sterile as shit, that wouldn't be an enjoyable spot to live. Why not dress it up a little bit?
Right. Well, and when you're probably spending more time here than you are in your own home, using these bathrooms more than your own bathrooms.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. And there's something about taking a shit and just a soothing atmosphere that really is like meditation for these guys, I'm sure.
Exactly right. So good on to all those folks. We want to, let's do a little competition. If you're in a position where you can do this, let's decorate. Let's see, do almost like a Cribs version from Zero Block 30. Show us your room, your barracks room, your dorm room, whatever you call it, wherever you live on a military base. We want to see the best ones. Do it like MTV Cribs. Send it to us, DM it to us, or email cons@barstoolsports.com. And
of course,
we will get those up on Instagram and see what's the best one. Maybe we'll have a little competition. We'll send you a shirt if you win.
Oh yeah. I love seeing people who really go all out on their barracks rooms and mm-hmm. really, I've seen a couple TikToks that have gone viral. There's some women that I've seen out there who are like, fuck it. I have to live here. I'm going to make it home. And they make mm-hmm. it, you can't even tell it's a shitty barracks room. They make it look so comfy, cozy, whatever. We moved barracks so often that that wouldn't have made sense for me. And I don't have a sense of style. So that would have been fucked from the start. But anyway,
also,
best of luck to them.
If you are in Japan and don't have at least one samurai sword, don't even bother applying. Like, don't right. even don't bother submitting. We can,
you know,
we need
who
to
else
see a
has,
samurai sword.
You know who else has samurai swords on their walls oftentimes?
Ninja Turtles?
This is from my college days before the Marine Corps. People who sell drugs.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Wow. Yeah. What is that about drug dealers that they're into that?
Samurai swords. I was.
I feel like, well, you just, you know, like samurai movies whenever you're,
no,
a drug person.
I think when you're working in the drug trade, you got a lot of off, you know, cash on you at all times. So you walk by a store and there's a sword for X amount of dollars. You're like, oh, okay, I have that much money in my pocket right now. Let me get it. I think you have a lot of disposable cash.
It's
and
a,
yeah,
it's
and
a
if
symptom
you have some disposable
cash,
cash, you're
yeah.
going to need less of it if you're going to go with our friends at Rocky Boots, because Rocky Boots mm-hmm. builds boots for the men and women that serve and protect the country. They're designed and built in the U.S. for each individual branch of the military. They have them for hunting, hiking, doing whatever you're going to do if you're just doing a little ruck march. By the way, speaking of ruck march, oh, I'm going to pull it up because we're going to talk about that. This is going to be my save round. But Tom Schumann from Killzone absolutely went high and to the right and released some messages that we're going to talk about in save rounds that I absolutely love.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Round number two, we're going to go to the Mexico and U.S. border and talk a little bit about some strawberry puree.
Ooh, strawberry puree. Anyways, ABC 17 News comes to us with this story. A plot to move almost a ton of methamphetamine in a shipment of strawberry puree got crushed when U.S. Customs and Border Protection officers discovered the concealed drugs. On April 12th, a CBP officer assigned to the World Trade Bridge in Laredo, Texas, saw a tractor trailer arriving from Mexico hauling a shipment of strawberry puree and referred to it for another examination. I just did the fan motion as if I was the one being like, pull it over, get over
get
here.
Get over to the
over
side.
Here.
Let's get it. Something doesn't, something stings here. Let's bring the dogs out.
Let's bring the dogs out. After conducting a thorough secondary examination, they found 158 packages totaling nearly 1,761 pounds of alleged methamphetamine concealed within the shipment. The methamphetamine had an estimated street value of $35.2 million.
Whoa!
I thought meth was way cheaper than that.
So did I. The inflation.
I did too,
man,
but I guess
everything's
they got a lot of it.
The
meth, I guess,
bubble.
A pound of meth is a lot of meth too.
Yeah, yes. Right. That's, I bet the little a little dabble do ya, as yeah, they yeah. say. A little dabble do ya. This mammoth seizure of meth underscores the reality of the drug threat we face at the port of entry and the determination of our frontline officers to apply the latest inspections technology coupled with officer experience to keep our border secure.
How many do you guys think they missed? Because they got this one. And one of the things that happens is there, I forget who the senator from Tennessee was, but she was talking about Martha Blackburn. She was talking about how all these seizures are happening and it was a sign that there's not enough drug enforcement at the border. And it's like, you're citing things that were found at the mm-hmm. border. Like they were found there already. So going in and being a drug dog handler and being a trainer of drug dog handlers, you have to be able to look at packages and be able to identify if it looks suspicious. Really, being a drug dog handler, being a drug agent like that is kind of like being the law enforcement version of is it cake? Like where you have to look at what's going on. Is this strawberry puree yellow cake or is it not cake? And we have to go inside and actually see.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I was doing border patrol every single day, like at port of entry, I don't think I would be paying attention all the time. I think I would have like an AirPod in and I'd be listening to audiobooks and shit.
You're right. It becomes such a mundane task, I think, because how often do you even see stuff that's illegal? Because I would say majority of your days, your entire career, people probably go their entire career and see very few things that try to come across the border that are illegal relative to how many things they've seen.
I'd probably send marijuana through. I wouldn't even care. If I yeah. like, I would probably be like, heroin, that's bad. Fentanyl, that's obviously bad. Meth, not coming through. Cocaine, I would really have to think about it, like, depending on where it's headed, like, where you're headed. And then it's like, oh, I'm going to Miami. I'm like, all right, come on through. You're fine. But like, where are you going? Nebraska? No, that's not going to work for Nebraska. Send that to Miami and we're fine. I think that that's how I would do it. But the port of entry people, whenever you're coming back, because dog handlers, when I was in, we would have to meet at the airport when different units would come back from like Guam or Australia or Thailand to make sure that they didn't have any contraband. When you are a Border Patrol agent or customs agent, you see some crazy ass shit. So we went out and searched what are some of the craziest finds that Border Patrol agents or TSA, people like that, have found. And the list is absolutely insane. Let's walk through some of these, Kate.
Yes, definitely. And while you were talking, I looked up real quick. They bring in the powder and then they finish making it in the United States. So It wasn't even like fully completed yet. I didn't realize that like a lot of the meth labs here are taking the product that Mexico sends and blah, blah, blah. But basically live eels is a big one. And people don't realize, one of my aunts once was like, yeah, way back in like the 70s or 80s, like we were big into we invested in eels. It was like highly lucrative. I was like, what?
What?
I'm telling you, eels is big fucking money, dude. I'm not kidding.
Eels?
Is
eels,
it?
Man. Yes.
Is
I'm
it?
Telling you. I went.
That checks out.
They tried to get the whole family to invest in eels. They said it was like the next big thing. Anyway, whatever.
And it wasn't.
Miami International Airport. They're doing great. No matter where you're flying into or out of, transporting live animals without declaring them is a big no-go. This passenger ignored the rule and tried to hide 22 eels in a plastic bag in their luggage. The same passenger also tried to get 150 tropical fish in.
Whoa. I just did an eel search about.
Dude, I'm telling you.
The price per pound of eel. Yes. Like, Cons, when's the last time you ordered market price tuna?
Fairly recently.
I mean, it's market price tuna, like $35, $40 yeah, for a pound like that, of tuna. Yeah. Price per pound of eel, $500.
Okay.
Per eel. The eel industry in Europe is a $3 billion industry.
Dude, I am telling you that eels is a big thing.
Maybe that might be so, but like, what are you doing with eels, you know, out of your living room? I feel like you can't have enough eels to make it profitable.
What a prude.
You have no idea about the eel industry. Right now I'm looking at a baby eel, and people that go after eels, they're called elvers, first of all, which is incredible.
That's pretty cool.
I never would have thought that. If you were an elver, sometimes these things can be worth $2,000 per pound because they are very important to Asian aquaculture companies.
Yeah. This was back in like the 70s or whatever. This family member of mine was like, eels are the next big thing. We're investing in these eel farms down there. And our family was like, okay, eels. And I could have been sitting here in a fur coat instead of this one. So I'm saying, anyway, a jar of human eyeballs is the next thing. In London at the Stansted Airport back in 2007, customs happened upon a passenger transporting a jar filled with 10 human eyeballs. They were all confiscated. Up next, a tiger cub in Iran. In 2010, custom officials uncovered what they thought was at first a toy tiger, but they quickly realized it was just really sedated, which is super fucked up. The cub was being smuggled in from Thailand with the intention of becoming a domestic pet. Luckily, it was saved and relocated. A cow's brain, Cairo International Airport in Egypt. It's a delicacy in Egypt. Cow brains may be sold for quite a high price. This reminds me of my relative who tried to get us in on cow brains back in the day. In 2012, three men were caught attempting to smuggle almost 200 kilograms of cow's brains into Cairo with the hope of selling them at six times the price they paid in Sudan.
I was wondering, like, why can't you get cow brain in Egypt? Because I feel like cow brain is not that hard to come by. But then if you're talking about what you can get, the exchange rate on cow brain is just astronomical.
Forget it. Yeah.
Ugh.
Up next, an ecstasy-filled Mr. Potato Head. 23-year-old Kate totally would.
Wow.
Sydney, Australia. The innocence of beloved Mr. Potato Head was lost in 2007 when the children's toy was found containing more than 200 grams of ecstasy tablets concealed inside. And then
you guys ever see that movie Project X? You've never seen Project X? It's a good
movie.
Anyway.
Great movie.
Yes. Thank you, Nick. But anyway, there's a part in that movie that has a little ceramic gnome, and it's filled with ecstasy. So that's what made me think of that. So
yeah,
I always like introducing new things to you because I think you'll enjoy them. Kate will definitely enjoy this movie. I think Chaps would too, but you guys
I would never watch it.
Noted. I still haven't seen The Guardian.
I want to watch movies.
That's BS.
See, I feel like movies for me, if I look at a TV show, like I'm watching Bridgerton right now, and I can look at it and be like, okay, so this episode is 53 minutes. I have time for that. True. When I go to like the new Batman movie and I look at the running time and it says 3 hours, I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like there's no 3 hours.
That's an anomaly though. Most movies, even new movies, aren't 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I just don't enjoy that.
So wait, are you saying you're out on movies? I'm sorry. Are you out on movies in general?
For the most part, I've probably watched in the last year, unless it's a kid's movie on a Friday night where I don't want to watch it, but I feel like I have to in order to be a good dad. I've probably watched 3 movies this year.
I think you're missing out, my friend. I think you're missing
out. I know I am. 1,000% I know I am. But when I sit down, I don't watch cable TV anymore. So I don't ever see movie trailers. So I'm not like interested. Back in the day when I would watch Turner or TBS and watch Braves game every single day, every other inning, there's a movie trailer that's on. So you're like, oh, I want to watch that. I want to watch that. Now I don't have that. So I don't even know what's been out. It is great when it shows up on Netflix. It's like, oh, the new Batman's already on HBO. I just had to wait like fucking 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yeah. All right. Last one that I saw, a fake human corpse that went through Atlanta. Imagine arriving at an airport security and seeing a gentleman in front of you sending what appears to be a full rotting corpse through the scanner. And this is from Kate's lovely baby daddy. It was actually from Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 is where that was from.
Yep, there you go. The replica corpse continuing to make it. Yeah, people, I'm sure they see all sorts of crazy shit. And I'm assuming that had to be legal, right? That one, they had to like let it through because.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's a prop.
It's a fake corpse. Yeah, it's a prop.
I mean, you can fly with guns and shit. Like, why would you not be able to see with a fake corpse?
Fake corpse. Who knows? Anyway.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Let's move on to round number 3, which this one has to deal with Kate's beloved volunteer firefighters coming to the rescue. Once again, right, Kate?
These guys, I'm cool with volunteer woodsy firefighters. That's
I don't
different...
think these are volunteers. Oh. I think they're federal firefighters here.
Different genre. So we're out in Washington State. A woman accidentally dropped her cell phone into the hole of an outhouse in a national forest and then fell in while trying to retrieve it. And of course, she had to be rescued by firefighters. Brennan Fire Department Chief Tim Manley said the woman, who was at the top of Mount Walker in the Olympic National Forest, northwest of Seattle, had been using her phone when it fell into the toilet on Tuesday. First of all, it's not wild to be using your phone in the toilet. That would be a bold-faced lie. I don't know.
I think you have to. I do think when you're in an outhouse situation, I feel like if we're back with our fellows at the Fort McCord, we're going to be on our phones and just bringing on the ambience. But even as a pretty prolific shitter, I would say I'm not going to be doing that in an outhouse. That's the type of place where it's get in, get out. We don't even need to scroll TikTok.
No. I've never felt relaxed. And plus the service out there couldn't have been that great, whatever. Mm-hmm. So she's using her phone on this outhouse.
But maybe she took a huge dump and needed to document it.
She said
send
that,
to her friends.
Yeah. Manley said that she disassembled the toilet seat and then used dog leashes to try and get the phone. Fuck the dogs, right? Oh,
Jesus,
the dogs don't care
Christ.
If there's shit all over this dog leash. This is like a crappy MacGyver. She used dog leashes to try and get the phone and eventually used the leashes to tie herself off like a rope to tie around herself, like a belaying rope, and reach in for it.
Let's figure out where this woman is at in this stage of her life, because there's only really, I think, a 2-year period where this is acceptable. And it's a period that Kate is currently in right now. When your child is below 2 years old and you have a shit ton of unsaved photos on that one device, and you can't get him off in any other way, that is the only excuse imaginable for this. Otherwise, you just chop it up as a loss. Like, you're not going in to have to fashion dog leashes down. This is just got to be in mounds of shit. And how deep? How long has this outhouse been here? Is this like a one that's been dug with a backhoe that you really have to go in and see everything? Not a great situation to be in.
I imagine if I even accidentally got a little bit of poop on my phone somehow, I'm getting rid of that phone.
But yeah, that's you. And you're not a poop averse.
I'm not a poop averse. I cannot imagine a world in which I'd want a poopy phone like that. Anyway, the dog leashes failed and she fell into the toilet head first. Which again,
oh my,
it's like
Christ.
Right. Yeah. Head first. That didn't work very well. And in she went, Manly said. The woman was alone.
Calling for help. And
your legs are just kicking. They're just kicking at the back.
You had a little fucking thing around your neck where you're like, I've fallen into a big hole of shit and I can't get out.
And keep in mind, she is in the Olympic National Forest. She is in the motherfucking boonies with no one else around. And she has fallen into basically a pit of shit. It's the bog of eternal stench.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just thought of something.
Oh, cunts. Keep it to yourself, cunts.
Yeah. Sheesh. Well, the woman was all alone. She wasn't hiking with any friends or anybody. So she tried to get out for 10 to 15 minutes. Then she got her phone and called 911. That's the only saving grace of this whole story.
With
she
the poop phone.
She could have died in there had she not had her phone. Like, had she not been able to find, or had the phone not been working because it was soaked in so much piss and shit. Responding firefighters passed her blocks to stand on to reach a harness, which they used to pull her out of the vault. The woman was uninjured. She was washed down, I'm assuming, straight from the fire hose. I don't know how this works. And they strongly encouraged her to seek medical attention for exposure to human waste, but she didn't. She just wanted to leave.
Oh, yeah. You get out of there as fast as you possibly can. Like, you're not hanging out there. And how does it say how deep it is? Like, she had to get blocks to get out of there. That's a deep toilet. Like, I'm thinking at first it'd be embarrassing to be in a porta potty and your legs are flailing around when it's like 3 or 4 feet. But is she like rappelling free solo style to get her phone out of this fucking porta potty, essentially?
Yes. Yes. She was using the leashes to, like, and I'm assuming if she had dog leashes, there was probably 2 freaked out, like, black labs, like, mom.
Or trying to like kiss her and like hump her and shit while she's in there.
When she got out covered in shit, they're probably like, this is the best day of our lives. Like,
mom, you've lost. So you snapped on this one, lady. Anyway. You went off.
I don't know if this is true or not, and there's definitely some science behind this, but I, in my head, you know the little blue stuff that's in the porta potty? For some reason, I feel like that probably makes it all worse. It like sticks to your body, it gets into your pores, and it's like a super agent that just connects with the waste and just goes to a different level of disgusting.
Yeah, and it's that color blue that it's just automatically, if you see that on somebody's clothes, I feel like if somebody has porta potty juice on them, you feel worse for that person than if they just have straight up shit rubbed on their arm or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, this like wasn't the blue stuff.
No, this is just straight up shit.
Straight up shit. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why when I think of the most fucked up common pranks that are on the internet, it's easily tipping somebody over in a porta potty. Easily. Mm-hmm. I feel like you should get
that. That's so disrespectful.
It's just so foul.
Went to a Giants game, Eagles coat on. I went into the porta potty and they started rocking me. I said, oh my God, this is it. I'm about to be fucked. And I fucking walked out of that.
Listen, you did that to yourself.
Well, I went through on the Facebook for this local news article and some of the comments were great. Josie McCollum said, oh my God, I can't even imagine how to feel in that situation. I'd rather be dead than be rescued. Even if you soaked me in Clorox, I wouldn't be surprised if she, quote, accidentally swallowed some liquid.
She had to. Because she went in head first, guys. She went in head first. Every orifice, every hole, every part of her had other people's shit in it. So
Barbie Connolly said, I'm glad she got out, but especially going head first, and she should have gotten checked out. But probably, hopefully, she'll make it home to California without any sicknesses. She was probably embarrassed and upset at what happened. Me, I probably would have tried to not call. Like, okay.
Trying to get out with, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then so Leon said, good job on the for the firefighters on scene. Adapt and overcome in a difficult rescue. Well done, boys and girls. So honest to God, salute. Those firefighters didn't want to be doing that shit, dealing with that shit, but they did.
No, but the pictures of them from their firefighter Facebook page are glorious. They're just smiling with shitting grins because that's one that you remember for the ages. I feel like there's a lot of jobs that you do for the story, like do it. Marine Corps is one, Army is one, like military in general is definitely one. Firefighter, cop, paramedic, any of those jobs where you're a first responder, you're doing something inherently dangerous. One of the greatest benefits in doing that is the stories that you tell. When you're back at the bar and you're like, dude, you're not going to believe what happened this fucking week. This bitch went head first into an outhouse by herself and got stuck, used two damn leashes to Rapunzel herself down while she was getting humped in her butt cheeks by her black labs. Like, that's a fantastic story to have in your back pocket for the rest of your life.
Oh, absolutely.
It just is. Okay. All right, let's move on to round number four. We're going to talk a little bit about some drama that happened on Facebook, this time with some dependents.
Yeah, and this is, I follow a bunch of military Facebook groups just to kind of keep my finger on the pulse of what's happening with the kids these days. Mm-hmm. And this particular screenshots from this particular story were making the rounds. So this was the initial post, and it's all been, you know, names and numbers and everything have been blacked out. But this woman writes, and she's a Marine wife. She writes, can someone please explain to me what the fuck just happened? Is this a joke? She was supposed to text me when she was on the way. And what the fuck is HUA? Seriously, don't know that part. And what she's referring to is she was selling a bunch of baby supplies to another woman who was having a baby. And then everything went south. And this is what happened. So this is the text message that the Marine wife received from an Army wife.
And again, this is not people that know each other. This is just random casual passersby on the Facebook marketplace world.
Yeah. Hey, girl. So we realized your husband isn't Army, so we can't purchase the baby items. No offense. It's just disrespectful to my husband. We don't mix branches. What? Never heard that one. So she, the Marine wife, replies, okay. I'm not sure how to respond to that. We don't mix branches. We're dependents, not military. It's my posting, like the baby items. And what does their jobs have to do with baby items? Not to be rude, but that's ridiculously childish and sounds like entitlement. But thank you for letting me know. Have a good night. I think the Marine wife, maybe I'm a little biased here, handled that very well.
The Army wife. I'll read her part. Yeah. The Army just has standards. And as an Army wife, I have to withhold that expectation. This is an Army base, Marine. You guys are on our turf, sweetie.
Oh my God,
the sweetie.
The sweetie just made me want to puke.
Yeah. And then the Marine wife replies, I'm not replying what I'm thinking because ... just wow. Again, have a good night. Goodbye. And what's the closing line there, chaps?
Sorry, guys. No.
She says, and then the Army wife replies,
no, yeah.
We will.
Hua.
Yeah. Ugh. And so then the Marine wife, she had posted this info to be like, hey, everybody on whatever base, look out for this person because she's like a super weirdo who only deals with other Army wives. So she wrote, sorry, guys, I'm back. Sleep is even needed with Marine wives while having newborns. The woman was just supposed to pick up a huge nursing lot for breastfeeding. I privately messaged an admin, her name. She clearly blocked me after this post. I don't want to attack Army wives or be attacked by them if I reveal her name publicly. So that's admin discretion. So basically she's in the group being like, you know, I'm just putting this out there so no other Marine wives on this Army base have to deal with her, whatever. But,
and you're probably getting crazy. That stuff's expensive. Like all the different.
Yeah, she's probably giving her a great deal.
Like all that stuff is crazy expensive. Honestly, I am legitimately surprised that the branches aren't reversed here. Like I feel like this post would make a lot more because if there's one thing that Marines are ate up about, it's about being Marines. And you typically don't see that as much from the other branches of service. Army, I think, is definitely number two behind us. But Marines are just ate up about being Marines. So I could see a Marine wife or Marine husband doing this much more so than the Army wife. And the Marine wife being the mature one about it. Well done. Just well done.
So weird. Just the present. Army wife titties are not going to touch something that touched Marine wife titties, even if it's to feed a baby.
I think it's very spouses weird. In the military in general are so important, and they're integral to a unit functioning well. Because if you have a lot of problems going on with your unit spouses at home, that can really impact the unit. But I do think there's a fine line between supporting your spouse and assuming their identity as your own, and that becoming like who you are. Clearly what this woman, she believes that she's in the army, and that, and again, there's such a fine line to say like, wait, they're not in the army. I don't know.
Oh, but this is PFC behavior. Like this, yeah. This happens absolutely. For people that have been in, no matter what branch of service was the person was in, this happens in the first 2.5 years and you get married.
This was a woman.
And they've been together since high school.
Yes. And this was her first time being away from her little hometown. And
probably
she,
19 and a half.
This is it's her entire identity and it's everything. And again, we know this is not the norm but my goodness.
I have another example really quickly for you. So this is, I think, sometimes prevalent too at the military academies with mothers who will take on their child's identity as a student at one of these schools. So much so that when we get our class rings, you can get, you know, replicas or whatever for your parents. And I knew the answer was going to be no, but I asked my mom anyway. I was like, do you want like a replica of my ring? She goes, no, like I didn't go to school there. Like, I'm really proud of you and we're mm-hmm. You'll get yours and that's great, but I would never want that. So I don't know. This is just similar vibes where these people have, I don't know. I don't want to say they have nothing else going for them, but it seems like they got nothing else going for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does that mean?
No, I don't think so. Okay. All right, let's move on to round number 5. We're going to talk a little bit about Elon Musk because he's been in the news all over the place with his offer to buy, despite the poison pill that the Twitter board had adopted last week. He's offering to buy it for $45.6 billion currently, and that might actually go up to $54.8 billion if it goes in with a 5% increase, like they are saying that it might. But I was just blown away by the amount of money that really is. And I think when you're talking about big, huge businesses like Twitter or Facebook or even the US government, like we talk about what's going on in Ukraine with President Biden signing the ability for the executive order that goes out that gives Ukraine $800 million more in federal aid and already in the billions of dollars there. But $45 or $54 billion, I want to read off what you could buy if you were going to spend $45 billion on something else. Are you guys ready?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So with that money, you could buy the Dallas Cowboys and the New England Patriots and the New York Giants and the Los Angeles Rams and the Washington football team and the San Francisco Giants and the Chicago Bears and the New York Jets and the Philadelphia Eagles and the Denver Broncos and the Houston Texans and the Seattle Seahawks and the Green Bay Packers and the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Miami Dolphins.
Did you just name like 20 teams?
15. You could name, you could buy 15 NFL teams. I would think that what if instead of that, if he hears this podcast and he's like, God damn,
he's listening,
Roger,
sure,
I'll buy, because what he's paying for is higher than the net worth of like 25 of the owners in the NFL, like their net worth combined. Like 25 of the owners combined. That is unbelievable amount of money to put into something.
It's fake. It really doesn't compute.
And I wasn't fully understanding. Like, I follow Elon Musk like kind of lightly just for like tabloid type stuff. But I wasn't sure. He has 83 million followers on Twitter. And he is also, he purchased 2.9 billion stake in the company. So he was the largest shareholder anyway. So they offer him a seat on the board. He unexpectedly refuses, but then he's like, no, I'm going to buy the whole fucking thing. So do you know why? Like, is it because he feels like he's been censored on there and that's why he wants to buy it? Like, what's this deal?
I think it all started with, he thought that he was shadow banned or was trying to prove that he was shadow banned because he wasn't growing like fast as he had been, and like his tweets weren't getting as retweeted as much. So it kind of like, and that does happen, like the shadow ban definitely happened. We looked at it, Zero Block 30, that's happened before to us. Like, we posted a video, we have like 240 something thousand followers on Instagram. I posted a video once where it was like just one of the reels or whatever, was out for 30 minutes and there was 4 views on it, which is absolutely not possible in the slightest to have that many followers, only 4 people just even scroll by it. So the shadow banning thing does happen, but I feel like this is one of those instances where people are going high into the right, kind of like when you're in a military unit and you get a new sergeant major, you get a new battalion commander, a new XO who has this reputation of being a crazy hard ass and coming in and changing everything. Then you have the scuttlebutt that takes place all over the place. What are they going to do? Are they going to make us PT more? Are we going to be doing these insane hikes? What are we going to be doing here? And people are so nervous without anything happening yet. Like, it's a preemptive anxiety attack by like the left on Twitter, and the right thinks, like the far right people, the 4chan type people, think that it's just going to be a complete free for all. Well, Elon Musk would lose billions of dollars in value if it just became a safe haven for Nazis. Like, that's not going to happen either.
Yeah.
Right. Because all the things that are currently banned need to be banned, like, you know, beheadings and disgusting, horrible things. There is a, again, going back to what I was saying earlier, there's always a line somewhere, and they have to find that line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we are, but the creator of Reddit had a really fascinating thread that explained it all, that it's not helpful. It's not going to read it here, but basically he said the far right and the far left are both equally delusional about why they're getting banned in certain ways. And why, and they think like, oh, the left, like the right says, oh, the left can do whatever they want in Twitter. And the left is looking and saying, well, look at what the right can do. And they both have examples of what the other, and they're both right and they're both wrong and they're both all just fucking morons. And it's,
and I just wish everybody would shut up. Like, for me, I love the principle of free speech while also just wanting everybody to just take a beat. Like, I wish that we could just say, listen, we're going to put a national pause on talking. We're just going to take no more talking, no more communication, just 3 days. Let's just have a 3-day fast, 3-day national quiet game would be fantastic.
Yeah, but all the people who are like, if Trump wins, I'm moving to Canada. That's all the people now.
It's like, no,
like,
you're not. Elon
takes it over. I'm not doing that. And it's like, no, you're not. Yeah, in a couple of weeks, you'd be like, well, I'm back, but I'm not happy about it. Whatever.
Yeah, and actually, Little Sass, despite being only 21, was his commentary on it has been great. Like, if you don't know Little Sass, he works at Barstool too. But he said, people are so up in arms about Elon Musk that they're going to go back to Facebook with Zuckerberg and then go on TikTok, which was owned by China. So they're like, you're not exactly dealing with Nobel Peace Prize winners either on any of the social media platforms. One, because it's a business that's looking to make the most amount of profit. And I think that that's been Elon's, essentially his MO, is taking companies and making them massively profitable, which is how you end up being the richest person in the world.
But okay, let me pose this question to you then. I don't know, maybe trying to get inside the guy's head is impossible, but what's the point? What, you already got all the money in the world. Why do you need more money at this point?
I don't even think it has to do with money. I think it has to do with clout and talk. Like, I think that Elon Musk is very much striking me as the type of person who just likes to be in the conversation. I mean, this is the richest guy in the world, and he's making memes about fucking Bill Gates, like, and what they're going after. He just wants attention and wants to be like cool in the spotlight and be like a Reddit superstar and Twitter superstar. And it's working. He is that.
That's,
he's
probably
becoming like a cult leader.
How old is Elon Musk?
Probably 50.
Okay. So I'd say probably 35 to 40 of those years, he was a giant nerd and probably got bullied.
Look at the amount of facial work that he's had, the amount of plastic surgery to completely change the way he looks. It's definitely an attention thing for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you know what? I feel bad for him. I feel bad for Elon.
Yeah, poor guy.
Oh, I don't. I don't. no, I think if I was a billionaire, I would be doing things that are just like this. Like,
if I had
unlimited funds, I would be doing stuff to fuck with people that I didn't like every day of the week. You don't think that I would have an actual farm of ladybugs delivered to Lindsey Graham's office? There'd be ladybugs all over the Capitol. I would have billboards, and I would be doing all kinds. Let's say somebody was mean to me on a tweet, I would make like a billboard outside of their house, like, this person is a douchebag, like right outside their house, because there's nothing you could do about it. I would do whatever I wanted to if I was that rich. I'd do what Elon's doing.
I would like to think also, if I was that rich, I'd figure out ways to help other people, not just like buying companies.
I'm getting the way. You know how like the super rich people get those mega yachts? I'm doing that, but with a pontoon boat.
And I also, that would be great. I also think that people like Elon, like with his money. I guarantee if he came out and he was like, you know what? I've already got together all this cash with Goldman Sachs. We have $45 billion in cash reserves stacked up. What I'm going to do is I'm going to, every article of food in America is going to be free for the next 5 years. I'm going to pay for all the food that there is. People would still complain about the philanthropic levels of what he's doing. Like, that's just the way it goes.
Beep, 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 beep.
Breaking news.
Twitter has accepted Elon Musk's offer to purchase the company.
Wow. Well, shit.
There it is.
There it is.
I think I would rather have a Rolls Royce, honestly, than Twitter. I don't know if I'd want to own Twitter. Twitter is not a company that I would want to own.
Yeah. So a couple of his changes, he says an edit button, which Twitter's already developing. He wants to nix ads from Twitter Blue, lowering the subscription price. I don't know what that is. He wants to add Dogecoin as a payment option for things on there. Mm-hmm. And he wants to get rid of bots. He says he swears he's going to get rid of all the bots as spam bots. So whatever. That's mostly Russia, right? So that's a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that would be great. All right. Let's move on to a little bit of save rounds and alibis.
With golf season in full swing, Chevy wants to help you make the most of every drive, and the all-electric Blazer EV's bold design and dynamic performance make it the perfect electric vehicle to get you to the course in style and comfort. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
Yes, you need to do that quickly. All right, let's do save rounds and alibis. Nick, we'll start with you.
Nick actually let us know that he had to step away. Hey guys,
Got a 3-year old running around the house right now. So yeah. It's a round.
Got it. For me, I got a DM from ZBT listener Sam Jones. She said, "Kate, I need ZBT's help on how I should decorate my graduation cap. I'm commissioning from ROTC with a nursing degree. Don't have any creativity. My dad says I should draw a stick of butter to joke about being a butter bar, but I don't want to be super boot like. Y'all's opinions and ideas are very much appreciated. I was going to say put some silver bullets on that thing, but I don't think that's what Army nurses do.
They might. I guess she'll get commissioned in her uniform. So she's probably just talking about her cap and gown from college.
I would do some subtle camouflage stuff with it.
Yes,
I think.
Or, that'd be a good idea.
Because it's military, I would put a Blackhawk spinny thing. What do you call it? A rotor, helicopter rotor on top. And I would have mine fly off on its own when it was time to throw the cap.
I think that would be good. I do like the butter bar one. I think that was good.
I think butter bar is
cute.
It's
congrats to you, there. Sam Jones. Congrats to everybody getting ready to graduate out there. Very cool thing. Mm-hmm. What's my other saved round? I have my one bite pizza toys coming out.
Nice.
Yeah, that's coming out this week if you have kids. It's a pizza toy and my son loves it and it's just really fun. It's Velcro.
It's a fucking pizza toy.
It crinkles like a motherfucker. So if you have a baby, every stage
or
of
dog.
So far, he's enjoyed it. Dave Portnoy says it looks like a dog toy, and which I would argue if you have young children, you know, that's pretty much all they want to play with anyway. So,
and they're one and the same.
That's one and the same.
No so sharp edges, no loose toys, no loose buttons. That's the same rules.
No sharp edges. You're right. And it could be played with in the car. That's why I wanted everything on it soft, because you can't bring like hard, scary toys in the car, whatever. Anyway, yeah, that's it for me. Yeah.
All right, cons.
Yeah, at one point during the show today, Kate said, "Little dabble, do you?" My art teacher in grammar school used to say that all the time. And the whole time growing up, I just thought there was two words, little and then dabble, do you, was a whole word. And it didn't occur to me. I think I was in the shower at like age 25. I was like, wait a second. She was saying a little dab will do you, as in a little dab will do you just fine. And I just didn't know that until I was an adult. So that
little
was fun
dab will do
to learn
you.
That.
Yeah.
And, excuse me. And then talking about having money and basically being able to do whatever you could in this world. In the same vein, I just saw that New Jersey has taken to renaming rest stops after people. And just renamed one of the rest stops on the parkway for Frank Sinatra. And tell me if you guys agree. That just seems like, I don't know. It's kind of like a crappy thing to have named in your honor, like a rest stop. Like, hey, here's some gas and some fountain soda.
If I'm a
and
trucker, I'll
sandwiches.
Feel much fancier getting a blowy at the Frank Sinatra stop. Mm-hmm. Yes. So lot lizards, only the highest order will be that one.
Okay. Send in the lot lizards instead of sending in the clowns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Maybe I'm wrong. Well, that's why I bring it to you two. Thank you. That's
that
all
it?
I got. Yeah, that's all I got.
All right. Hold on. I got it. McCartney is doing CIA stuff and NSA stuff. Alexa, stop. We have this like look-in thing so they don't have to come down here. Alexa, cancel. So they don't have to come in here. And so now they use it all the time. And they'll be like, God, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm fucking working, you weirdo. Stop calling in the middle, like whenever I'm doing stuff. So Killzone, Thomas Schumann, Major, put out this Instagram this week that was a look behind the curtain of what actually goes on. And what I'm going to go through is easily one of the more remarkable conversations that I've seen a company level officer and their first sergeant have. And this is an incredibly rare look inside. And to give you a little bit of the background before we get into it, from what I understand of the story, there was a PFC or a Lance Corporal who was at PT that was being led by Major Schumann, and they were doing squats and the PFC wasn't meeting the physical standard. So in order to do some remedial training, a sergeant brought him aside and had him do squats with a medicine ball that weighed like 20 to 30 pounds in order to get the same repetition that everybody else does, so that Marine is building towards the standard. That was going on. The first sergeant, because it was physical training that was conducted by a sergeant without express written consent by the officer in charge, they viewed it as hazing instead of training, which they should have viewed it as. The first sergeant construed it as hazing. And this is a letter from the first sergeant to the captain. Here it is. Sir, I've given a lot of thought about our conversation about SOPs and your comment that commanders do not have to follow them. I would recommend that you re-examine that statement. You stated that SOPs are not orders. That is not accurate. SOPs are orders in the same way that policy letters are orders. There are several SOPs that are that all Marines and units that they've written for and have to follow. Number one, recruit training SOP states that what Marines within the training regiment can and cannot do. If any Marine or officer or enlisted break the SOP on either depot, they're subject to NJP and should not be voided. Number two, MCT and SOI training SOP states that training cadre can and cannot do. If any Marine, officer, enlisted breaks those SOPs, they are subject to NJP, tactical SOP, which we have specific gear on our kits, names, states, certain colors, and locations. Number four, First Marine Division hike SOPs tells Marines within the division how they will conduct hikes and the interval at which distances will be added and at what speed. So this specific incident where the first sergeant and the captain weren't getting along was more about the hike that they were going to take, because Major Schumann likes to hike at 4 miles an hour instead of 3 miles an hour, which is the normal speed. So this is the part that I love. And I actually called our old producer Kyle whenever this happened, because I was so fucking motivated by it. And I texted our Booger Platoon chat, which is all of us talking, and was going through some of the details here. I would have killed to work for an officer who said something like this. Here we go. Get ready to buckle up. I've never, ever heard a captain talk to a Marine First Sergeant like this. And it motivates the fuck out of me. First Sergeant, thank you for your thoughts. I actually feel like I should do this in a Colonel Jessup type tone because it's just that good. First Sergeant, thanks for your thoughts. I have re-examined my statement. My position remains the same. Four, what an SOP is not. An SOP is not restrictive. An SOP does not replace tactical judgment, leadership, or common sense. All leaders are expected to make reasonable decisions, even if those decisions contradict the SOP. An SOP is never an excuse for failing to act. D, an SOP is not a checklist. An SOP is not a doctrine. An SOP does not tell subordinate commanders how to act or suggest best techniques that are defined by HHQ. Action. Commanders and staff officers will ensure that combat operations are conducted in accordance with the guidelines and provisions set forth in this order. However, this OSOP is not intended to be restrictive in nature. Leaders are expected to use sound judgment in keeping with the mission and the commander's intent in order to achieve a success. This is the best part. This part is incredible. I want them to put this on my tombstone. The CO is aware of the rate at which I hike. You'll either hike faster or continue to be left behind and continue to receive negative counselings for failing to set the standards. I recommend spending less time finding excuses to justify for weakness and more time remediating your deficiency, Captain Schumann. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo! I mean, if I was that staff NCO and I had my officer in charge, who is the beginning officer that does my fitness reports, and he told me that I had to pick it up and remedy my weakness, I think I would tender my resignation and retirement right then and there, because as a staff and CO, you have always have to be told to be brought back a little bit. Like, you always want your officer to be like, hey, I appreciate you going after it and being so motivated and gung-ho and getting the people where they need to be, but we need to back it off just a touch, just a hair. I'm not asking you to do anything crazy, just a hair. That's what you want. Never, ever. I would feel so unbelievably insulted if one of the officers that I work for ever said, come on, dude, we need to push. You need to get better and stronger and more fit. I don't know how you recover in that instance. It is remarkable leadership to do that and to say it to his face in a written. You will continue to receive negative counselings. One, I can't think of more than 3 or 4 negative counselings that I know for first sergeants. Period. Those stop. They're supposed to come. You're supposed to have counseling every quarter, every 6 months, and then every year after you get to a certain rank. But realistically, whenever you get to a certain rank, like a first sergeant, those don't really come ever. Mm-hmm. So to have continued to get negative counseling, one, that implies that there's been a negative counseling that's already taken place. And I fucking love it. And it's because of every single thing that we talk about, PT standards. The standard is the fucking standard. Who sets that? The person with the most rank in the unit sets the standard. Mm-hmm. And if you can't meet it, catch the fuck up. Tom Schumann, I fucking love you. Sound the retreat.